I think we'll have to make some agreements before we sign it or veto it. And we'll be talking to leadership very soon on that.
You are hearing from Governor Lamont talking to reporters up at the Capitol. And yes, he is leaning towards doing a special session, calling lawmakers back later this month to tackle this very controversial housing bill. It is House Bill 5002. We've been talking about it relentlessly. And there's been a lot of controversy, especially coming from Fairfield County towns and cities, which, by the way, are not all Republican leaders. There are Democratic leaders, including in Fairfield and in Bridgeport, who have been urging the governor to veto what is currently that bill, including First Selectman Bill Gerber. He joins us now from Fairfield. And, Bill, my understanding is you actually sent a letter to the governor asking him to veto the housing bill, right?
Well, I'm really thankful that the governor is a businessman. And I was trying to appeal to his business sense. I just felt that the way the bill is written, it's not really clear how, I think we need a practical bill that tells us, the number of units in the current bill is going to be determined by a consultant through a fair share calculation, which would be pushed down from the state. And, how you translate your fair share, the number of units they would like you to build into actual building is a little unclear. You'd have to make changes in your zoning laws in order to accommodate the number of units that the state would tell you through their consultant that you need. And I don't think that is a practical approach to building developments. I think I could take somebody through our town and look at certain sites that would be great to develop. And I think the governor understands this. There are certain places that would be great to develop, but we could use some financial assistance. For example, we've got some brownfield sites that, hey, if we could get those cleaned up, we could build affordable units. It would be a win-win. We've got some sites that can't accommodate building because the sewer system isn't, the capacity is not there, or the streets flood. If we were to build, it would flood more. If we had some assistance in putting the infrastructure in place to accommodate development, that would be a win-win. So, just to tell us, hey, you need to put in 1,000 more units, that's a tough one to swallow, considering that we have just gotten our moratorium within the last few months for 8-30G and did that really the hard way by putting in units, 10% of, if we had 100 units going in, we have a 10% set aside in our zoning rules. And so you put in 100 units, you would require 10 affordable units.
Which to me is broken. I'm sorry, Bill Gerber, but I can't stand 830G just because of that model alone. I use the example, in fact, when I talk to people up in Hartford, that I was just at Fairfield Metro train station. There are at least three new housing complexes I can count that had to have been put in the last couple of years, give or take. And if I were to make an educated guess, I'd imagine the majority of those units are not affordable.
No, the majority aren't, but there are. That's where we are getting most of our units in those developments. And at Fairfield Metro or Fairfield BlackRock is what it's called now.
I know they changed the name. Yeah. I noticed that. Yep, I noticed that.
Yeah, much cooler name. Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah, it's definitely less confusing, right? Because it's Metro North, regardless. Yeah. No question. Yeah. Sorry. Continue.
Yeah. No, I was just so we got a lot of our affordable units in these larger developments. But in a way, for me, that's the least egregious of the developments, because that was a site that was really not being utilized. There were brownfields there. It was sort of a blank slate, and it's a win-win to have something there as opposed to just concrete and dirt.
I mean, but I feel like it'd be a win-win, Bill Gerber, if I actually could have people afford to live there. Like, I hate to be that person, but I mean, I look at just in our own family who lives in Fairfield, as you know. I mean, we have family members who they would love to live in Fairfield. They'd love to work in Fairfield or in the surrounding community, but they can't afford to live there. They can't. They just can't.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
It's not enough. And 100 units that cost $6,000 a month, and you get out of 100 units, you might get 10 or 11 units that cost $3,000 a month.
It's still unfathomable.
It's still hard. And
yeah.
It's really hard. Yeah.
But those are the kinds of properties, Bill Gerber, that the governor is like praising. Oh, it's right near mass transit. Well, yeah, sure. But no one's moving in there. No one, at least unless you're in the elite, you're not moving in there.
And there are a lot of people in the elite that are moving in there. And, you know, double-income families. I think they're
I don't think you and I run with the same circles then, Bill Gerber, because I don't know a lot of people moving in there. At least I don't. But, you know, I don't know.
I think they're doing well. And, you know, they're profitable. Occupancy rates are very high. And so there is a demand. And the way they subsidize the affordable units with, they can do it because the other rents are so high, so the returns are still very good. And as they say in the development terms, the deals pencil out, and you know they work for the developers. And we push to get the affordable percentages higher. The fact that it's in a transport-oriented development zone allows us to go from 10%, which is our minimum set aside for multi-unit housing. We made that 12%, and we're always trying to look for ways to get it up to 15 or 20%. But 8-30G requires 30%, and when you have those 30% affordable developments, that's when you get a lot of a lot more units than you would want, much bigger complexes, because the developers to have the deals pencil out just need more market rate units to subsidize the returns on the affordable unit.
We've got Fairfield's first selectman, Bill Gerber, here. And before we talk about UI monopoles, Bill, really quick, are you encouraged that the governor wants to have a special session over this housing bill? It sounds like you would be at least happy about that versus him just signing it.
No, I'm really encouraged by that, and I was so humbled. I sent him a text asking him to veto it and take another look at it, and he texted me back within 30 seconds. I was so happy about that, and you know, I think his view is that this is really a bill that requires towns to plan, and not necessarily forces towns to build. But you know, I am concerned. We've been forced really to build units under 8-30G, and we've built a lot of units. We got our 460 HUE points that we needed for our moratorium. And reading this and thinking that, somebody based on a formula is going to tell us we need another 500, that scared me. I don't know how you translate that into actually developing smartly in the right places. And some of the things the governor has said are really encouraging. He said, look, we want people to tell us where they want to build, and so we can help them build. And I can tell you right now, we have some brownfield sites. We have some sites that lack the infrastructure to build, but would be really.
But you need the money. And that's just it. A lot of those grants that you mentioned, those usually go to the cities. That's very true. And that's been voiced, I think, for years now. So certainly going to see what happens with this special session, if you will, later this month, if it does in fact happen.
Yeah.
We've got First Selectman Bill Gerber here, and I just want to spend the last few minutes with you talking about this meeting tomorrow, because it's very important, sort of switching gears here. But the UI monopoles and this proposal that would greatly impact Fairfield and Bridgeport residents, Bill, what's happening tomorrow?
Oh, my gosh, this is so frustrating. We've been fighting these monopoles now for a year. And for over a year, UI just background for your listeners, of which there are many, and I hear from them all the time. The UI came in, and you know, we had some people in Southport, the town of Southport in Fairfield, in the village, who called up the state rep Jen Lieber and said, "There's a guy in my backyard marking trees to be cut down." I went and asked them what this is all about. And they said they're putting in 150-foot monopoles, and we had never heard about this. It turns out Jen Lieber then sort of geared up, a big communications effort, and turns out UI says they sent out notifications. It must have looked like junk mail, I can imagine. I can't imagine someone getting like a card in the mail that says, we're going to actually seize, you know, take land from you to build 150-foot monopoles in your backyard. And someone just threw it away. No, not possible. So we uncovered a really big problem with UI, that they don't really make the appropriate effort to notify people. And it was a plan that was on its way to going through the siting council, and probably would have gotten approved had we not hired a phenomenal lawyer in David Ball from Cohn & Wolf. And we have been fighting this ever since, to the extent where our state reps, once again, led by Jen Lieber, Steve Staffstrom from Bridgeport. And we had Matt Blumenthal was involved.
In Stamford,
in writing a new law. And so they wrote a new law, which basically put some guardrails around what the siting council can do, and it required greater notification from utilities, required the siting council to use experts on things like undergrounding when they didn't have the in-house capabilities, and, you know, a bunch of different things that would make it a more transparent more, you know, thoughtful process when utilities come to the siting council. That was passed by a huge majority.
That's what I'm confused about, Bill, only because we're running out of time, is I thought that passed. So then tomorrow it sounds like it's urging the siting council to dismiss United Illuminating's application. But I thought that they did.
No, so we, you know, went to court. We appealed the decision. So the siting council actually said, yeah, you know, we agree that you shouldn't, to UI, you shouldn't be taking land from Pequot Library and Southport Congregational Church and all these businesses along Metro North, along the south side of the tracks. That we were thrilled about that, but then they turned around and said, "But we will approve a plan on the north side of the tracks,
Okay. Even
though no plan had been submitted." So there was no one had anything in hand that they could even appeal. There was no due process for the people who own property on the north side of the tracks, and that we took that to the Superior Court. We appealed that, and Judge Budzik from the Superior Court ruled in our favor and said, yeah, that was not appropriate, not legal. And so what we expected was the siting council would say, okay, we're going to open a new docket. We're going to force UI to reapply under a new docket under the new laws that were passed, which would require greater transparency, and which would require them to actually show us the calculations and use the appropriate experts to tell us why they can or can't underground the lines, which is, you know, really the, you know, 21st century thing.
Right, which is, I mean, that's been the suggestion from the get-go, which is, if we're going to spend the money, you know, why not bury the lines? And it just seems like UI has pressed back on that so many times, they won't even really explore that option. So it sounds like this meeting, which is again at 1 o'clock, and we'll give you the details tomorrow about it and make sure you're you know, in it, is to kind of reaffirm the commitment to fight, you know, the protection, obviously, of residents, businesses, and places that would be impacted by these monopoles, and to really make sure people understand the situation that they are in. And Bill Gerber, unfortunately, we have run out of time, but I appreciate
having
these conversations. No, don't be sorry at all.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't get to the heart of the matter, which is, we are afraid the siting council is going to do an end around the law, end around Judge Budzik's ruling, and for some reason, you know, could just reopen the original docket 516, and say, okay, well then, you know, we're going to continue on and build these monopoles on the south side of the tracks, and ignore all of that. And, you know, it would be very, very upsetting, but it's taken a long time. The siting council, we thought that they would, you know, would have had their ruling and remanded this back to the siting council.
But it seems like they're not doing that. And so, unfortunately, as I mentioned, Bill Gerber, we have run out of time. Definitely will give people more details ahead of tomorrow's meeting. Thank you so much for your time on the show. We really, really appreciate it.